Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Is this thing on?
Is it working?
Eddie.
It's magic.
You have arrived.
It's the magic of radio.
How was your week? You did a show last week. We missed you.
I did. I was down in Irvine.
You were in the whitest improv city in Southern California.
Super white.
How did you enjoy your show?
It was fun. There's always a good time down there.
You did the Comedy Juice? Is that what
you did? The Comedy Juice show at the Irvine Improv.
That's awesome. That's a really heralded. I've seen many Comedy Juice shows.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a good show. Good times.
Was there anybody cool that you liked? I mean, I know other comics are like, yeah, that's funny.
No, I like, I mean, everybody on the show I'm friends with, you know, I liked. It's good stuff.
So it's like getting together with friends.
Most comedy shows usually are.
That's a good hang.
Yeah, that's usually what they are, more
are
than anything.
I always wonder if comics are like, hey, are you going to do that bit about the car and the chicken thing? Are you gonna
Not rarely. Rarely.
Or it's just like, oh man, I can't wait for you to hear my new bits.
No.
Is there any of that?
No.
What's the pre-game for a comic like?
No, like, we go in and we find out if we can eat for free, that's awesome. And then we talk about that and like how great this is that we're eating for free. But that's not like a lot. It's pretty boring.
Okay.
It's
right.
Not that interesting.
Right. How's the rest of your week?
It's good. It's good. Just going through, just getting ready for October.
What's October? You
got to decorate for Halloween.
Oh, see, are you going to dress up?
I have a standard Jedi robe that I throw on.
You know, a Jedi robe should never be a standard.
It's my go-to.
You should be like, I have this extraordinary Jedi robe.
I got like brown jeans, and then I have a white t-shirt.
They used to be white.
And then I throw on the Jedi robe, and it's, you know, I grow my beard out for a little bit. It's like,
what about
Jedi.
Colton? Is he going to do the Incredible Hulk, or is he?
He was a Hulk last year. Year before that, he was a Jedi. I think this year he wants to be Luke Skywalker.
Oh, that's a big one.
From New Hope.
That's a big one.
White jet shirt.
I'm familiar with the movie.
Well, he had different costumes in every movie. I didn't know which one.
Yeah. I just got Otis an X-Wing fighter for a chew toy.
Nice.
And he's been chewing the shit out of it.
Yeah.
He's like beyond. I don't know if he's on the right
sounds
side
like
of
he's
course.
On the Empire or the First Order.
I saw Kevin Hart last week. That was
oh, really?
Awesome.
Where at?
I got to say, he was at the Anaheim Ponds, and you
God,
know, like
I don't know how you play those places. They're so big, it's
dude.
So
and you know what's crazy? He's killing it. He's like the next Eddie Murphy. And you know, like I go to comedy shows a lot, and I've seen a lot of comics that do the big shows and the small shows. He had some pretty awesome material. Like
I know, but like I just comedy in a venue that large doesn't work for me. I mean, I guess it does work because people do it, but I just like
why? Like, because you think it's just like it
the
doesn't
part of stand-up comedy that I love the best is the intimacy, is making a connection with the audience.
Right, right.
And anything over really 300 people, you lose it
because you don't have a connection with you. You don't
you're
see
up,
their faces.
You're just up there saying your jokes and they're laughing back. I mean, you're just sort of regurgitating your bits. And they, but like, you like I did that show at the Shrine in April.
Yeah, yeah.
There was 6,000
people.
6,000 people there, but it's like, you don't. I don't know what that was for. But you don't connect. You don't connect with the audience at 6,000 people.
Well, it's like a faceless mass.
It's what it is.
It's cool to get a picture in front of that, but I agree. You don't get that connection.
You lose the. And that's what, to me, stand up comedy more than any other performance art, you need that connection with the audience.
Careful now.
You need that connection with the audience.
That's true. Yeah, but maybe it's just like you thrive off that huge room of laughter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's awesome because it's not as much work because you know like that many people. It's just everything comes out of your mouth is just going to crush.
And
just because
and
of
people
the energy
are so excited
and,
to see you.
Yeah, just because the energy in the arena is just
you know
crazy.
What I was also impressed with? There were three comics that opened for him. One was a host.
Yeah.
And the host was amazing. The other two guys were pretty good, but the host was really funny. I can't
remember
his
names?
Name.
None of the names?
I'll have to look it up because
how many people are in the pond? 15,000? 20,000?
Yeah, it was about 18,000.
That's crazy.
Just crazy. And just dude, I was all the way in the top.
Was there monitors? You could see him.
Yeah, there were monitors. Okay. And you know what? His jokes, like, it was all new. The whole thing was being taped for a big special. And so it was all new material. And man, he slayed it. I was like, you know, sometimes when you see somebody that big, too, you wonder if they can pull off new material in the same way that they pulled off the old material. You know, like, I think Dane.
Yeah, Cook, but I think also a lot of times down. Rewatching it, it might not be. I'm not saying it wasn't great, but I'm like, when you're in the moment and you're in something that big and that spectacular, sometimes it feels better than it really is.
That's true. That's true.
Like when I saw episode 2, Attack of the Clones, I saw it at midnight. And people were dressed like Jedis and stormtroopers. It was crazy.
And you were just excited.
And I'm watching the movie, and people are cheering and screaming, and like, this is. I'm watching, like, this is the best Star Wars movie. And then, like, I went back to a theater like a week later and watched it by myself in an empty theater. I'm like, this is the worst Star Wars movie ever made. Because, like, your perception is skewed by everyone, the energy in the room.
Also, it's skewed by your excitement. You know what
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're there with 18,000 people, and everyone's cheering and laughing at everything. It's like, it's... And then you go back and you go watch... If you watch it on TV again, you're like, oh, this wasn't as funny as I thought it was.
I could see that. I could totally see that. But I saw a bunch of Dodger games this weekend. Went with the whole fam. I haven't seen a Dodger game with the entire family.
Did they play the Pirates?
Yep. Pirates? They won against the Pirates, and then I went with my boys last night.
So freaking hot. How'd you go to a game?
They were night games.
Oh. Well, you guys are from India, so you're used to it.
That's true. It's like, we're like, this is nothing. The heartbreak of the weekend was going to the USC Stanford game.
Oh, you guys.
Dude. I couldn't believe. I mean, honestly, it's... I think it's like the hardest to be... You know, I think it's the hardest to be a college football fan. Because you have 12 weeks. It's not like the NFL. You get a little bit more.
Well, every game. Well, at least you have the playoffs now in college, so the games aren't.
But if you lose one, your season's done.
That's why I never took to college football.
Oh, man. It's heartbreaking, too. And it's like there's always a team that will lose. Like Stanford lost against Northwestern.
Yeah.
Opening, like what? Like, you know?
In pro football, you can go 0-2.
Yeah, and still make the playoffs.
And still win the Super Bowl. You can go 8-8 and get in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It makes the playoffs exciting. Gnarly. College football. That's why I just never took the college football.
Yeah, it sucks. It's hard. And like, I'm very passionate about my team. You know what I mean? It's like I've been a fan.
And only
of
like
USC
the same
since I was a kid.
Eight schools rotate into the national championship game anyway. So
well,
it's like,
not always. I mean, there's yes.
Like out of the blue. Like, is there ever like some underdog team that comes up, like the Patriots did in 2001, like just out of nowhere and win the national championship? It hardly ever happens.
Well, you know, it happens. It happens. Like, Florida came out of nowhere back when they were winning. You know, they hadn't won one in maybe 30 years.
Yeah, but they were winning, and then they get into that thing.
Yeah, but you know
SEC
what it is? And it's really the recruiting. Like, Florida State, when I was in college, was the school to beat. And now, they're not really the school to beat. And then Florida came up in the, you know, the 2000s, USC came up, and, you know, it's just like you have a rotation. But
yeah, but it's always the same big schools. There's like,
you know what?
Northwestern's never going to win the national championship.
Northwestern will never win the championship.
That's what I'm saying.
Honest. Yeah. But, I mean, it's all recruiting.
Yeah, Louisville's never going to win the national championship.
But it's the same with all professional sports. It's all about who you draft. You know what I mean? Like, your teams, like the Lakers are not going to win a championship next year, but we've had moments where we've had the right team, the right players, it's the timing.
Yeah, but in pro sports, you're only year or two years away from winning it all.
No, I think it's also cyclical like that. Like, it can be 6 to 10
But college
years.
Football, some colleges will never, ever win the national championship.
Well, look at SMU, too. In the 80s, they were, like, the most dominant football school, and then they got hit with penalties because of, Eric Dickerson was like, you know, going to the NFL, I was a pay cut, you know? So, anyways, it looks like our special guest has arrived, Mr. Dave Yaden.
Oh, thank you.
How are you? Our studio audience already loves you.
Oh, man.
They're like, man.
Tell you what.
I like his hair.
I just can't
stop. He's cool.
Can't lose today.
So Dave is also a Trojan. They love that. So, Dave and I were in the same songwriting class. We are both music majors.
Oh, really?
At USC. So, I haven't seen you in a while, man. It's been ages.
It's been a minute. I feel like we ran into one another at... did we run into one another at NAMM?
Yeah, I think
so. You guys were in Vietnam together?
Yeah, we were back in NAMM.
No, it's the National Association of Music Manufacturers or Merchants.
Yeah. You know, those are like it's like a circus. It's like basically a giant guitar center that's worldwide.
Do you know about this?
Yeah, well, they talked about it before.
I mean, I played it a couple times.
It's literally the I believe it's the largest. It is the largest convention of its kind. It's the largest convention for music manufacturers in the U.S. that happens, and it happens. Of course, it happens like in L.A. They take over.
It doesn't happen in Vegas.
It's like Vegas.
They take over the entire Anaheim Convention Center and all the hotels around it. That's how big it is. It's massive.
They used to do it in L.A. and they're like, this convention center is too small.
Yeah,
we're going to Anaheim.
and also because it's there at Disneyland, so every manufacturer that's coming in from out of state is super excited to like bring their family.
Right.
But because it's in Los Angeles. Then, like, all the endorsees, like Yamaha, will have, like, Stevie Wonder come and demo, like, a piano. So it's this crazy thing that, like, people try to get into. And up-and-coming musicians that are being endorsed, they'll come and, like, play. And so, you know, inevitably, like...
What comes out of, an up-and-coming artist performing at NAMM?
Endorsements. I think that's the biggest
basically
thing. Yeah, that's what I've gotten out of it. I've never been like,
there's never labels
here's
there
a $500,000 gig that you're gonna hit. It's never like
there's
that.
Never bookers there. It's just sort of
and everybody's just trying to party. It's not really that. It's more of a Hollywood. It's like playing for a bunch of Hollywood,
you know,
music
it's
companies.
Because it's just one of those things that because everybody's in the business, it would be that. I mean, I guess it would be. I'm trying to think of something like similar in comedy, but it would be something having to do with like entertainment. Like you could, being a comedian, you could go to some sort of entertainment related thing and still probably make some connection that might help your like business out.
Comedy is comedy festivals. There's like Montreal is like the big comedy festival, but you go there and perform, but there's bookers and agents and there's buyers there. It's not just, you're not like, hey, I'm using this microphone, and then people are like, you know,
oh my god, you're using the microphone.
That's what makes the convention odd.
Yeah.
Because it's not that, but because it's related to one of the most like, you know, there's so much mystique around the music business. It's like, you know, one of the most glamorous parts of the entertainment business. So because of that, you know, and
once you
also,
go through like, it too, you're kind of like, oh, this is them. All right.
Yeah. Stevie Wonder will be there. So is Stevie's people. Yeah.
But as an up and comer, you go up and you play whatever instrument you play.
Right.
Are you hoping to get an endorsement from that instrument company? Or are you looking to find, or do other companies come up to you and like, go, hey, play our stuff?
Yeah. If I've been like having a tour coming up. And if I have a tour coming up where I'm opening for, say, like, we did some stuff with Adam Lambert. Well, so if I have this coming up, I might be able to get like a case or whatever out of it because they'll want that case on that tour.
They
want
to advertise
a piece of equipment or whatever. Like, and all of my like, this is
because drunk people in the audience really care what fucking instrument you're playing.
You know what the thing is people that are in the audience are, there's no audiences anywhere. It's all the people that are from. It's not open to the public. It's a completely private convention, but it's so popular that people find all sorts of ways to sneak in.
So. I've snuck in many a time, and then it's just gotten a little bit harder, but it always makes me want to sneak in even more. Like, even if I have a bad, like, I was telling my band, I was like, you know, having a badge to this, it's not as fun than as sneaking in and getting into the conference. It's really not. Like, you get the badge, and it's like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be here now. But sneaking in, there's a rush. It's like, oh my god, how am I going to get in there? Are you going through like these custodial little rooms to get in?
Oh my god,
I've done it all, man. I've done it all. But
I've never snuck in. That's awesome.
Oh man, I've snuck in so many times. Like, had different IDs. Like, oh man, it's awesome.
Yeah, really? Nikhil's the master of fake IDs.
I do, honestly. I've had many.
He had a fake
ID
when he was 12.
I mean, now I get them all the time because I've got endorsements and whatnot. But It's not as fun to me. I'd rather sneak in. But anyways, yes, did run into each other at NAMM.
Yeah.
Dave's a very accomplished musician. He was, you know, you did like classical for a while, then you did jazz for a while, then you did rock for a while. You kind of done it all, right?
I've done a lot of different stuff. The first big like thing that I did was my first like foray into, out of college actually, into the, this was my condition actually of leaving USC and not graduating my condition was if I signed a record deal with a major label. So the first thing that I did that got me into the major label business was I signed a deal with Atlantic. And that was a very like rock and roll.
What was the band? I remember.
It was called First Man.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. It was with a guy named Joe Firstman.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
And,
but he also plays keys too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a thing where, whenever he played piano, I played Hammond organ, and sometimes he moved to guitar, I moved to the piano, and yeah, we all did a lot of switching around that band. But that was a rock band, and then. And then, like, after that, it was a lot of stuff with Josh Kelly, a lot of pop, and then I did, like, a couple different tours that, oh my gosh, just trying to think so far back now. But
did you do Josh Kelly's first, like, first record tour?
Mm-hmm,
yeah. So that must have been a cool experience to watch his star rising.
Oh, that was very cool, yeah. Well, actually, when I recorded on his first record, but then I was touring with my own band, I was touring with a band on Atlantic, so, like, so it was a thing where I actually... Kelly, you probably know this guy. I can't remember his name now. Anyway, I referred another USC piano player to his gig. So he did all those tours with
that's
Josh.
Because awesome.
I was out with my band and we did a lot of cool stuff. We opened for like Sheryl Crow and Counting Crows, all the Crows.
That's awesome. Crows. All the Crows.
Yeah. Actually, ironically, I have opened for all the Crows.
That's awesome.
I've opened for all the Crows and played with most of the Crows.
And also played for Crows.
Yeah.
Eventually, that happens too.
They'll be feeding me to the Crows after all these terrible jokes.
So how did you get into music? Like, what was the first thing that got you into playing piano? How did you know you wanted to play piano?
Dude, you know what? It was like one of those things where it was like there was a piano in the house, and I heard Mom play it, and so I was like, oh, that sounds awesome. I think I'll do that too. It was just always something that came really naturally, and I really, really liked all the time. So it
See,
was...
Eddie, what happened to you? You never got forced to play piano or anything?
No, I saw a piano, and I would just go and do the Peter Pumpkin Eater on the black keys, and then that was as far as it would go.
You're like, your parents were like, he's not going very far with this.
Like, he just keeps doing that. He won't take direction. So.
They're like, Eddie, enough with the hot cross buns. We get it. That's it.
That's really funny.
So you just wanted to play piano?
Yeah. I mean,
it was
it was around me, and people told me I was good. So I guess I was like, well, I guess I'm good.
And you started with classical music?
Nah. Well, I did. I played some classical music. Like, I had a couple lessons, and I really didn't like it, but it taught me enough to read music. And I did like some classical pieces. My parents only listened to classical music. So, but really, like, I was playing, like classical and jazz and like old stuff, Duke Ellington. And so I started playing like out professionally in like hotels and stuff, like before it was legal to pay me. Like,
that's awesome.
Probably 12, 13, yeah.
You just hustling your gigs? You're like, hey.
Oh, my parents, we'd go into a hotel, and my dad would be like, hey, go play the piano. And then, you know, in like a lobby somewhere.
So he's whoring you out?
Dude, yeah. He was like, he wanted me to make some money so he didn't have to give me money anymore. It worked.
So he was your daddy and your daddy.
There you go. Mm. But, so that's how it started. And then I learned, I was like, oh, I can make money doing this. So, and I really, really enjoy it. It's something that, like, I would be, whether I made money or not, I would still have every instrument that I have in my house, and I'd be recording. And I heard there's a singer-songwriter out there.
Wait for it.
Yeah, I know. No,
wait for it.
I just scared his name right out of me. Ernie Halter.
Oh, yeah.
And Ernie, like, I saw Ernie text something once. Or tweet something once that I felt was very poignant and very true about artists and about musicians. He said that, you know, we don't make music to make money.
Right.
We make money to make music.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, oh, damn, that's fucking so true.
That is true. That is very true. See that, Eddie? You learn all these things. It's the same for comedy. Mm. It's like... And he's like, I disagree.
I don't.
So
that's not how you feel about jokes. Like,
I don't know. I don't even know what I feel anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I'm spiraling out of control.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry. I'm having an existential
crisis. You're not
gonna
have a meltdown.
I'm having a crisis
radio,
right now. I'm having a huge midlife crisis.
That's all right.
It's okay.
You're a midlife, so that's. Just don't get on a motorcycle or anything stupid.
I don't know. I can't tell you what I'm going to do.
So when did you start writing music?
The minute I put my fingers down, because I didn't think that, yet I didn't occur to me that I would do anything else. Why would you do anything else other than sit down at this instrument and write? So I always did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not the path that most musicians start playing music.
You think so?
Yeah, I've come across, I've like, one of the joys of doing these interviews for me is like you find out what inspires people to play music or write music. Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't write music till later. Hmm. They just like they took in so much of the playing, like
that
it was so much about the playing, sure. And then it came.
Yeah, you know
to
what?
Be about writing.
You know what's really funny? I do see what you mean. You know, it's fun. I've always been really terrible about knowing that, who played what on albums and stuff like that, because I never cared, because that's not why I started playing music. You know, I started playing music because I like hearing, like,
express.
I like using the instrument to express myself.
Yeah. That's,
I've always liked that. So I've never been really super interested in playing somebody else's tune.
That's awesome.
But because of that, then
I'm
it's like.
Applaud that real quick. Hold on. No, it's, you know, it's important. It is. I mean, it's like, it's unique when you have your own voice and you can put it together and no matter what's going on in somebody's life. Like,
right.
You know, and you know, we both studied classical music at some mm-hmm. point. It's like you hear these like tragic lives of some of these composers. Like they never could get a girl, or they were sick, or they were poor, or, like right. they were totally
usually
alcoholic. Yeah, usually at least a combination. Mm-hmm. And they would write, and now it's like, you know, people are having concerts playing their music,
oh,
you know,
gracious.
Which is like, you know.
So terribly sad. So tragic.
Exploitation.
Every time. I think about that all the time. Yeah. I'm like, oh, man, I don't know. Now, I mean, I have not. Thank you, Lord. That's not my story thus far in my life. I might be like due for a spiral.
Everyone is.
Yeah. It's like it's coming.
It'll come at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I might be joining Eddie in that.
It'll
spiral.
Come at some point.
But
Mr. Bluebird's
it'll come.
but then like sometimes, you know, I mean, I don't know. Makes me think I should. There's a. Maybe when I play later, I might do another piece that's a little bit commentary on that. Actually.
Well, let's have you play something now. What are you going to play us now?
Well, I could do... Oh, man, this one's awful heavy, though.
That's good. That's all right.
Okay.
What's the name of it?
This one is called The Manifesto, and it is my manifesto. It's my, like, kind of... well, yeah, it's just... I think that doesn't need explanation, probably.
All right, here's Dave Yaden with Manifesto.
I guess I gotta admit, even though I never wanted to, that I'm kinda shaky about never breaking through to the limelight. And it's not like I ever wanna be, would ever wanna be anything but a grateful son. And I'm grateful for fans and friends that adore the beautiful wife and the life that I asked for. And I hate to say it's not enough, because it is enough, and I'm living and I'm laughing and I'm loving in a nation that has embraced my creations. But I wanted to move the masses, you know? Elevate the collective perspective. Lift souls. Inspire love between nations that had turned their backs on one another for all the short-sighted reasons, race, creed, and color. It is these very things, my friends, these very differences that upon honest, unbiased observation can clear the fog from our perception, raise our awareness, and give you a measure with which you can better fathom the depths of your own soul. You see, you may find a hope where you thought none could exist. You may find that the very experience of being human binds us all together. And that we are all brothers and sisters, sharing a few brief decades on this rock as it hurls through space. You may find that laughing and weeping sound the same no matter where you are in the world. You may find that no one laughs or weeps with an accent. And you may find that it doesn't matter what your race is, or what your creed is, or what your color is, that love and kindness and charity warm the heart of every soul that shares this sacred opportunity that we call existence. You may find that you are not alone, find that you are not alone. Say about me when I'm gone, that I was bitter, that I was full of spite, that I had talent but it was marred by pride, that I had the gift of poetry but all I ever did was wallow in self-indulgence. What will they say about me when I'm gone? That greed made my decisions for me, that anxiety made my decisions for me, that indifference made my decisions for me? Will they say that I squandered the time that I so jealously guarded as my own on things that didn't really matter? Or will they say that freedom was wasted on me because all I ever did with it was use it to complain about what I wasn't being handed? What will they say about me when I'm gone? What good are riches if we are not generous? What good is strength if it is not used to protect the weak? What good is beauty if it is not graced with humility? And what good is any gift that any of us ever have if we do not use it to help our fellow man? What will they say about me when I'm gone? Will they say that he was ever so slow to anger? That he was ever so quick to forgive. That his joy always filled the room and made it warmer even after he was gone. That he was ever concerned with a crippled soul. What will they say about me when I'm gone? Will they say that I had love? Will they say that I had love? I know it's all very well and good, my friends, to talk, to sit in our living rooms and our coffee shops and our pubs and our bars and speak elegant words about what ought to be going on in the world and what others and maybe even ourselves ought to be doing, but it's not enough just to talk about it. It's not enough just to think about it. You gotta do something about it. You gotta shout about it. You gotta write about it. You gotta sing about it. You gotta dance about it. You gotta paint about it. What do you do for work? You gotta go to work about it. You gotta run about it, jump about it. You gotta live about it. We must become it. We must become love. We must become love.
First of all, that totally gave me chills. Second of all, I was not expecting any of the, like, the lyrics, the poetry. Third of all, how the hell did you memorize all of that?
I think it's easier to memorize stuff when you write it.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of stuff, though. That is, I mean, do you do that in the same way, or is it, like, different things come to inspire? Different versions of it.
No. It's pretty. I mean, it's always different. Like, it's always different. I find that it rises and falls in generally the same places. You know, but there are a couple of lines that I omitted on purpose this time around, and like you know. But usually it's pretty much the same thing every
dude,
time.
Well, that was heavy,
dude. Thank you. Well, that's like
I said. Like, damn, I feel it.
Definitely
I feel
heavy.
The spirit.
I need to go jump.
No, come on, man. What was cool about it was like, I've never heard spoken word up like with somebody playing like that. It's super unique.
Dude, thank you very much.
No, I'm serious.
Thank you.
And there was so many. There was like some life affirmations in there, but mm-hmm. there was also some like really poignant questions, you know, like that I think everybody asks. I know you're asking yourself that. I can see it on your expression. You got the Sam the Eagle face again, too.
I'm always Sam the Eagle. Always.
That's and right. Sam, is that a Muppet reference?
It's a Muppet reference.
Which is on right now on ABC.
I know. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Dude, I got to start taping them. I will. So, yeah. I shall. It shall be done. Mm-hmm. So what inspired that? Tell me, like, what was the story behind that?
You know what? Lyric is the bane of my existence. I don't like writing lyrics. I write melodies and progressions, like, but that's the easiest thing, to write melodies and progressions. They fall out of me every day. And lyrics just don't fall out of me that way. What I say in that song is I was afraid that I was going to, like, make it somehow to the end of my life and not say the things that actually matter to me. because I've been so frustrated to try and put them somehow into lyric, and I am often very frustrated by the constraints of a melody, because it's not my strength is in prose. I am very good at saying what I want to say if I have as many words as I want.
Right.
You know. So I initially wrote that whole thing out.
Damn.
And then
in just like 5 minutes, like you just wrote it out, or did it take time? Like,
no, well, not 5 minutes, but I wrote the first half of it, or I wrote the first third of it, and then I came back to it, and yeah, I think I wrote the whole thing on a plane flight.
Damn.
Yeah, and then because it's just how I feel, you know. That's how.
No, but that's what it's like. That that famous graduation speech, like always wear sunscreen. You guys ever heard that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
It was like what it took me to. I was like, dude, this is just like that. Where it's like. You're listening, and then all of a sudden, you get pulled in because of things. You're like, you're talking real shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, you don't waste any time. It's like, I love stuff like that.
Dude, yeah, thank you. So, yeah,
Eddie's moved. He looked past, look into the twinkle of his eye past the Sam the Eagle face, dude.
I'm just thinking about the Muppets right now. Hopefully, I DVR'd it.
We need that balance. I told you. I saw Zach, oh, man, this is heavy, dude.
Gonna bring, that's all right.
Gonna bring
right.
the mood down. Damn it.
And he's like, can he play something happy now?
Yeah.
So tell me, like, what's your writing? How do you write? Like, what's your writing style? Like, what's your process?
Dude, I just always usually it starts with being inspired by something else, by a song that I hear or something like that, or you know, by listening to. Yeah, a lot of times it's just being inspired by a song you hear.
You totally had like the New Orleans bag in there, like lot of stuff that you're playing. I was just like, that's all the stuff that I'm like, I love that stuff. So
me too.
As far as New Orleans pianists, who are you, like Professor Longhair, any of those guys?
Yeah, I mean Professor Longhair and Dr. John. Yeah, those are the two.
What makes it New Orleans?
What
makes it New Orleans?
I don't know how to explain. I don't know how to answer that. It's kind of like a bluesy funk style that kind of originated with Cajun and Creole influences.
There's like rhythms. There's rhythms that are like kind of specifically New Orleansy, and I did do a couple of them.
Actually, play a riff that is very New Orleans.
Well, I mean, that just feels like jazzy and bluesy to me. It doesn't.
That's New Orleans.
That's just New Orleans.
Yep, New Orleans. Yeah. Because a lot of that music started in New Orleans. Oh, jazz really originated in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's the only...
So did the Utah Jazz.
Really? No. Are you serious?
The basketball team?
Yeah.
That's why they're called the Jazz. They were the New Orleans Jazz.
I didn't know that.
Moved to Utah. Kept the name.
Huh. I was wondering.
Why would you think it'd be called the Utah Jazz?
You know what?
It's like the LA Lakers.
Yes, that's true.
Because they were
just becomes part of the territory.
That's
Utah's got
a
crazy jazz.
That's a horrible
jazz
tangent. I just went on. Sorry.
No, it was a good tangent.
No, it was a good tangent. I didn't know that. Yeah, I did too.
You know what? Okay. I love those players, obviously. You know, I was just in New Orleans recently, and actually something that's really cool about it and jazz is that it is the only city that I've ever been in where, like, everybody's playing jazz.
Yep.
It's being played it on the corners.
Yep.
The homeless people are on the corners with instruments.
It's in the
playing
streets.
Playing jazz.
Yeah,
it
it's
is
the
a
best.
Collective, like, mindset. And I've never been in a city like that.
Never. Me too. New York can kind of, but only in some parts.
Yeah.
But it's not across the whole city. Like
and
New
not
Orleans.
Like it's in the blood.
It's in
like,
the fabric.
It's crazy.
That's why it's my favorite city in the country, man.
Yes.
Yeah. New York used to be, and now New Orleans. Have you ever been in New Orleans?
Once.
Did you, how old were you?
21, 20, 21.
Yeah, you went to Bourbon Street and did all the.
I went to the Sugar Bowl.
Oh, that's cool. That's way cool. Then you weren't into college football, too.
Well, my college team went to the Sugar Bowl, right, so everyone went down there for New Year's.
That's why you're bitter about college football, too. You're like, the
they
same
actually won.
Teams.
They won.
Oh, that's, yeah, the I remember. Bowl. They used to be good. Used to be. It's all right. so, Dave, you've been involved in a bunch of projects. So,
yeah.
I know you toured with Josh Kelly. Mm-hmm. This is when you got out of school. Joe Firstman, who was on the, what's the talk show? He was the music
last call, Carson Daly.
Carson Daly, yeah, that's right. And who else have you been collaborating with? You've been touring with the What's the Dave and Divine?
Oh, are David and Divine. Yeah, no, I'm not doing that anymore.
Okay, so you cut the David out of that.
Well, you know what? No, she got pregnant and moved to Arizona.
And that's all, folks.
Yeah. That was it.
That's all right.
That's it. What she wanted to do, and it was like it's super cool. I'm very happy for her, and she has actually been pushing me to do what I'm doing right now with the solo stuff. So
that's awesome.
Even before all that happened, she was like, "Dude, you need to be doing this record," and blah blah blah. Because what I did is kind of is very instrumental. It's very funky with like a tiny bit of like bluesy, jazzy influence, right?
Yeah.
And I had just done my latest collaboration is that has done something big is Mindy Hebert. She's the one. Mindy's on Concord, and we had number one. She and I wrote a tune that was number one for 2 weeks actually last year, and we got nominated for a Grammy this year.
Dude, that's amazing!
Yeah, wow, it's awesome.
So for jazz?
Yeah. It was insane. It was the nomination was for like a contemporary instrumental album of the year.
We got some Grammy fans in the audience. That's crazy. That's amazing, dude.
Yeah. So that is something. And I'm working with her on her second record or her next record right now.
This time we're gonna win. Yeah. That's it. No holds barred.
Hey, man. I hope so.
No monkeying around, please. God save. I was expecting you. God damn it.
God damn it.
There it is. Well, let's play something that you recorded. You did a song called Two that you just did the video
for.
Yeah,
let's do it. We did a video for it. We had Mari Kota from all the Step Up dance movies to come and dance in it.
That's awesome. Like,
we released the video today.
Oh, actually. My God. Double applause.
Wait for it. Wait.
Where can you see the video? More importantly than the applause sound effect.
You can see that. It's on
God
you.
Damn it!
Sorry.
That's how I like this. It's on YouTube. Just search Dave Yaden Dave Yaden and Mari Kota is the name of the actress.
Cool.
But right. Yeah, the name of the song.
Yaden.
Yaden.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, let's play that one, man. Right. I love that one.
Here it goes. Two. We'll be right back.
saw you like doing some dance moves.
I was trying to mimic you guys.
Were we both grooving? Just
like, well, it's just funny. Yeah, you guys are like squinting like you're taking dumps.
Oh, yeah, that's the funk face.
Yeah, that's the funk face. Yeah. You guys both look like you're taking dumps.
But, dude, look, how did you not make that face when it's not funky?
I just somehow paused it right here.
Yeah. I was curious why your shirt, you lose your shirt halfway through the video.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What happened? It just blew off of you?
Yeah, dude, it's that wind.
That wind is vicious.
That wind will get you, man. There you go. Inspiration for you right there.
Oh, that's so funny that you pointed that out. That's too funny.
Lost his shirt halfway through.
Well, it was windy. It really was windy.
I give him that. It was windy.
We were just, so our listeners know, we were watching the video as the music was playing.
Yeah, go to youtube.com.
/Dave Yaden.
Y-A-D-E-N?
Ian.
Yeah,
not two D's.
I think it's a
one D. About the 2-minute mark, his shirt just disappears.
So where did you film that? You were like the Mojave Desert or some shit?
Yeah.
See, how did I know that?
Yeah, man.
That's where you go.
How many deserts do you know?
Shirts.
Yeah, that's where you go.
Sahara, Mojave.
Jeez.
And it was just the two of you?
It was just the two of us. Just trying to pause it. Right there.
Sorry. It's okay.
Yeah, we went. No. Well, it was us and the director, obviously,
that's definitely a cool video,
dude. Thank you very much.
Yeah, cool. It was super engaging because like you're playing and she's dancing. It's like,
yeah, it's awesome. What's cool is that she's like known for her freestyle dancing. Like she didn't choreograph.
Oh
my goodness, yes, thank you. She didn't choreograph anything, but she's that's what I needed right there. She didn't choreograph anything. She just came out and freestyled the whole time, and it's amazing. Like it was so much fun for us to watch.
How were you not watching her when you were playing? You had to pretend like you were like playing.
Yeah, I'm super into myself.
He didn't even know he didn't get dressed that day. That's how into it
was. I didn't have a shirt on.
I didn't know.
He didn't even notice.
Until I forgot my shirt flew off.
Yeah. I have little mirrors I set up so I can see myself play.
It's very windy that day, too.
It was incredibly windy that day.
But that worked with the video, though.
It did. Yeah. I don't think it would have been as good if that worked.
No, I think the wind. It's cool.
Eddie, getting a little excited.
I was very excited.
So, Dave, you've been recording a new EP, right? A new record.
I did a new EP. It's coming out on iTunes like in 3 weeks, but like for right now, it's on SoundCloud and it's free.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Where can people find it?
SoundCloud.com/Dave Yaden.
DaveYaden.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what are you going to play us next? See, Eddie, where's that from?
New Orleans?
That's right.
Let's see here. I will do something that I never play without a band. I've never played this without a band before, so we're just going to see how it goes. But
I'm here for the gangbang. Thank you.
You go through every range of emotion when you play. It's amazing. You go from happy to sad to like, I want to kill this keyboard. I'm making love to this keyboard.
The best is when he's just playing with his right hand and he had his hand up, like doing a stadium show.
He's like teasing his left hand. He's like, no, it's left hand. You don't get to touch the keyboard yet. Not yet.
It was awesome, dude. Dude, the best part, I was just thinking about in the middle, is like, you know, we can hear it, but the studios around us can't. So they're just like,
they just hear boom, 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 boom.
Right. Dave, that was killing.
That is some
dude,
intense
thank you.
Piano playing.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was, you know what I love about you is you're always so passionate. Like, when you play, it's just like, you leave it all out there. It's great.
Dude, thank you, man. Thank you very much.
And on another note, I just remembered, I think I still have your Duncan Cheek CD from, like, way back.
You have that CD.
I think in our songwriting class, he was like, dude, you should check this guy out. He's a really good writer. And then I listened to it. I
loved that record.
Yeah, it was a great record. I have your copy somewhere at home.
That's really funny.
I'll have to get it to you somehow, dude. Somehow.
Well, where can people check you out? Just Google your name and everything will pop up?
Google my name and everything should pop up. And
spell it out one more time for our listeners.
It's D-A-V-E. Dave Yaden, Yaden. And right now, everything is on SoundCloud and it's all downloadable for free. And it's going to be downloadable for free until it gets released on iTunes.
What a talent, Dave. Seriously.
Dude, yeah. Thank you very much.
And you're as entertaining to watch as you are to listen to.
Oh, thank you.
So you got to see him live.
So you
right?
got to see him live.
Yeah, there were a couple
with
times.
With or without shirt.
Eddie, you had your head down, you were listening, and then he had his hand up right by your face, and you were just like
what
a minute.
He's going to heal me.
He's like, is he high-fiving me in the middle of this song right now? Well, dude, on behalf of Eddie and I, Dave, you are a terrific guest. I mean, it was great
dude,
to have this little
you.
USC yeah. reunion,
it was an honor to be here, man.
You sounded awesome.
Thank
you sounded
you.
Awesome.
Thank
get
you.
His record. It comes out in 3 weeks on iTunes.
Yeah. You can get it for free right now on
get
SoundCloud.
It for free right now.
Go for it.
Do it.
Dave
do it
Yaden.
Now.
All right.
I'm Nikki Carulla.
Eddie Pence. Good night.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.